Welcome to the latest episode of the Custom Private Equity Podcast. Why hard assets along with stocks and bonds? Today we will talk with Paul Anthony Thomas, the principal at CustomPrivateEquity.com. I'm Ron Davis, experienced podcaster, and I'll be asking all the newbie questions. Paul, so why do you like hard assets instead of something like the stock market?
Well, it's not that I don't like the stock market. I do like the stock market. I like stocks in general, but it's more of a matter of trust with me. The way the markets work today, in our opinion, the markets have become very corrupt, and you can buy your way into Wall Street if you have enough money, and that's not really conducive to really good business. Investing is a personal experience. We have to make our own decisions about where we're going to place our money and what are the best places to place money. And that's our whole goal at Custom Private Equity, is to find the absolute best places to put money to make profits for long periods of time. So we don't trade. We don't buy a piece of land and then turn around and sell it in a week. Or we don't buy a stock and turn around and sell it in a week. If we like a company, we invest more like Warren Buffett does. If we like a company or like a strategy or have developed a strategy that we like or found a niche that we like, we will create an investment platform or program around that niche that we found. And we take the macro view to investing. We start with the economic environment and come all the way down to which assets are the greatest assets to own. When we decide which assets are the greatest assets to own, then we'll actually step off and create a platform or program around those.
So talk a little bit more. Well, A, what is a hard asset? And then why do you have more trust in something like that?
Well, a hard asset basically is an asset that you own it, or you own the entity that owns it. So in the public world, if you own Microsoft stock, you don't really own any shares of their computer manufacturing plants or their headquarters or anything like that. In the hard asset world, if you own an interest in our programs, you actually own an interest in the buildings that this program owns. So in self-storage, you actually own a direct interest in the buildings that we own as far as self-storage goes. Or in oil wells, if you own an interest in one of our platforms, you own interest in the exact oil wells that go with that platform. Sometimes we have different strategies in the oil business where we'll buy equipment versus production, and then you'll actually own an interest in that equipment, a direct interest in the equipment. So you own the hard asset. It's assets that when they're liquidated, you get your share. So when Microsoft sells their headquarters, you don't get a share of the profits that are made on that.
So you said that it's a trust issue with the stock market, and you feel like it is corrupted, and going with direct hard asset ownership or ownership in a company gets around that. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, when you have companies like Enron, companies that have learned to work the public system and put people in place that have no trust, or you have no trust in or faith in, Enron and Arthur Anderson are a perfect example, WorldCom, Global Crossing, Bayou Hedge. Before Bayou Hedge went out of business, the SEC caught them trying to send $100 million over to overseas accounts in their personal names. Long-term capital management, Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, all these guys. Bernie Madoff is the number one prankster of the group. HealthSouth was another company. These are huge public companies, except Madoff was a fund manager, but huge public companies where they, in HealthSouth, the principal of HealthSouth installed a bathroom in his office with gold fixtures. I've owned a registered broker-dealer. I've owned a registered investment advisory firm. And once you learn how those systems work and how the Securities and Exchange Commission works and how to game the system and basically commit fraud without anybody knowing it, it makes you have a lot of distrust in the system as a whole. So I would rather keep our systems in-house where we can monitor them. My teams of people that are highly trusted people can monitor those systems. And another thing that we've seen is as people go public and they get lots of money in the bank and they have these high salaries, median pay today for a CEO in a public company is $9.6 million a year. which equates to about $26,000 a day. Ron, do you make $26,000 a day?
Not yet, but I aspire to it.
Well, as people move up that ladder and they get this money under their belts, and they think that they can't make a mistake. We saw that with Enron and their group. Another thing about public companies is running a public company is tremendously expensive. It's an expensive endeavor. The overhead, I had a friend that ran Patterson UTI, and that was a drilling, publicly traded drilling company, and he said his monthly legal bills were $3 million a month just to keep up with his public filing. Well, that's a tremendous amount of money to be spending on just that.
The kind of investments you're talking about, you know exactly what that company does because you have a direct ownership in it.
That's right. So we use the macro view. So whenever we're putting self-storage facility together, we'll go out and we'll research 100 markets and decide on the top 10 markets that we like. And we have criteria that we go by, and we put together the corporation or the limited partnership, and the money that comes into that is dedicated to that one facility, and we know exactly where the money comes from, and we know exactly where the money goes, we know exactly how the money's made, we know the economic environment that we built that property in, and what our expectations for that are. And we know this from our history in the marketplace. We've been doing self-storage research and development since 1999. We've been actually doing hands-on work in the market for well more than a decade. We know what this property is going to do when we build it. We're not building something back in the neighborhood somewhere that we have a guess that it might do okay. And we have realistic expectations. So a lot of people will buy a stock and they'll expect it to double in a month. And that's a lot of times very unrealistic. Over the years, I've bought and sold literally millions of shares of stock. I used to be a stock analyst. My father started me out as a stock analyst when I was young. And we used to analyze 1,000 stocks a month. And I actually plotted those stocks by hand with a pencil and what we call the big charts.
What about things like penny stocks?
Well, penny stocks are a whole different scenario by themselves. I had a friend once who funded a startup in a penny stock environment. It was a pink sheet stock, and he funded it with $1 million. And over a couple of months, the $1 million was gone, and the owner of that company, the penny stock company, was driving a new Ferrari. So that was an interesting environment. We're seeing a lot of this in the small stock environment today with the marijuana stocks. The people see that they can go public on the Denver Stock Exchange or the Toronto Stock Exchange and have the word marijuana or MJ in their name, and all of a sudden they're cannabis, and all of a sudden people are throwing money at them, and they're off in the Caribbean. My team focuses on hard assets that cash flow in good and bad economic times. So in today's world, if you own a series of self-storage facilities, you would actually be doing stellar business because people are getting laid off. Those businesses thrive when the economy goes down, and they do well when the economy does well. So those are the kind of things that we like to get into. This COVID pandemic has caught us all off guard. We've learned quite a few lessons from it. I don't necessarily believe that it's been a terrible thing. Families have gotten to spend a lot of time together. I hope the savings rate in America will go up after this when people realize that they need some money in the bank regardless of what happens. And only time will tell on that.
Well, if anybody has listened to this episode and wants more information on this topic, you can always go to the customprivateequity.com website. There are a number of resources about this particular topic and about a number of other topics. And you can get all those for free by going to the website. There's also lots of ways to contact Paul. Once again, that URL is customprivateequity.com.